Good evening, everyone. I hope you can hear me well. My name is Regina, and thank you very much for the introduction, Dalit. Before I start, I would like to pick up a phrase that Tanvi has presented with regards to the Chinese government's legitimation of using citizen surveillance. The phrase is the following: technology and data could now save humanity, so it is legitimate to use it for surveillance and to monitor our citizens. So I believe there are three things to say here. First, the statement is only valid if corona is a sincere risk to the human species. However, we do not know that at all. Some scientific evidence may show a different and less horrible picture. So the basis of this assumption is a big unknown. And then second, are the methods derived from this assumption justified, given the fact that the assumption is unknown? And then third, is humanity only species dependent, or does it live within each of us? This idea that humanity lives within each of us grounds the idea that we have rights that safeguard our individual humanity, human rights. And this is what I will talk about now. So, also before I start, I want to say that with regard to some aspects of this presentation, I'm very much indebted to a very good exchange on this topic organized by the Geneva Internet Platform, which has gathered a number of well-known experts last Friday. In a nutshell, the message of this presentation will be the following. The coronavirus instills great levels of fear of a physical illness. And this fear may let us rush without reflection into a risky new world of technology, especially technological surveillance. This new world of technology has consequences for human rights that we may see already today, and those consequences are very much path-dependent, so most probably they will not uncreate themselves once the pandemic is over. So, in the next 15 minutes, I'll do four things. First, I'll set the stage with a very brief overview and selected choice of certain known risks of emerging technologies, so risks that were already known a couple of years ago. I stress the attribute known because I assume there are many risks that are unknown because those risks are still under-researched. And then second, I'll move to the current situation of an almost international shutdown due to what is called the corona pandemic. And I will name three aspects of this situation that may reflect how the risks that I've named at the beginning may be materializing at a very fast pace right now. Third, we'll give a brief summary, and fourth, I'll give one recommendation. So emerging technologies such as machine learning, deep learning, robotics, biomedicine, additive manufacturing, and many others, they raise broad societal and human rights concerns. ICT for Peace has started to discuss those risks already in 2018. Those risks are structural, they are manifold, they are evolving, and identifying them requires a very broad focus. Very briefly, I will name those that I believe are important and those that I believe you can relate to in one way or another. So first, artificial intelligence-enabled technologies can analyze our psychological disposition based on our digital footprint. And also, artificial intelligence can help tailor personalized information in order to exploit this very psychological disposition. Therefore, artificial intelligence-enabled tech can be used as a somewhat manipulative tool. Manipulation now goes or may go against our personal autonomy, because autonomy, in very simple words, means that we decide by ourselves what thought to follow and what course of action to choose. And autonomy is, according to some Western philosophers, the reason for why we as human beings have dignity. So artificial intelligence-enabled technologies could be used as a tool that may infringe our human dignity. And then second, emerging technology can also be used to categorize human beings, for example, into potential criminals or not potential criminals, equally based on the tracks that we leave in the digital world. Therefore, the technological tools could create a basis for a presumption of non-innocence based on digital data. And as some of you may know, the presumption of innocence is an international human right that is also integrated into many national constitutions in countries in the world. And then third, life enhancement developments may slowly move technologies that we have been used to use over the skin, for example, bracelets that monitor our sleep or that count our heart rate, to technology under the skin. For example, if we have micro-sized sensors implanted inside our bodies. So the move from over-the-skin technology to under-the-skin technology may invite also monitoring and surveillance tools to move from over-the-skin to under-the-skin monitoring and under-the-skin surveillance. And then fourth, many of us also have heard of the black box problem with artificial intelligence-enabled technologies. In a nutshell, that means that we do not know how certain algorithms work. Nevertheless, we as humans are increasingly touched by the outputs that those algorithms calculate. So there exists a dissonance or dilemma with regards control and responsibility of outputs of those algorithms in case they harm us. Those risks are arguably materializing right now as we speak and as we are absorbed by screens and sometimes as we are absorbed by fear. And I will present some facts that underline this argument that they are materializing or maybe materializing right now. So first, what is the right now? We are said to live through the corona crisis, and we are said that this is the biggest crisis in this generation. To my knowledge, the virus is said to have spread to over 190 countries. We are also witnessing a massive level of fear that sometimes amounts to panic and that has moved around the globe in a matter of hours. This situation affects everyone, or almost everyone, around the globe. And it has triggered governments of many countries to adopt a range of regulating measures. So this is the situation, and now I will present three aspects of the situation that may make the problems of emerging technologies that I have set out at the beginning enormously acute. First, we all shift to the online world even more. So those of us who still have work, our work exchange happens mostly online because we're not allowed anymore to engage physically with each other. And in order to make our lives more bearable at this time of isolation, in our free time, we also engage in the new world of technology to a higher degree. Therefore, due to our need for social exchange and due to governmental restrictions on our freedom of movement, the whole world participates in online services even more than before Corona. Second, government restrictions may infringe some of our human rights. We all feel it in a very short period of time. We realize that our freedom of movement, our freedom of assembly are restricted, that access to education is rephrased, that health access is restricted to, in some places, to almost corona-only cases, and that jobs and livelihoods may be put at risk, and especially that our right to privacy could be put at risk or that may actually be violated due to the adoption of a number of measures that I will name in just a minute. So those reactive restrictions may affect our human rights to privacy, freedom of movement, freedom of assembly, access to health, education, and also, in some places, jobs. Those restrictions are triggered due to the fear of a pandemic that is paralyzing the planet, or seems to paralyze the planet at the moment. And most importantly, due to this fear, we seem to accept those restrictions without the usual reflex of questioning what authorities are actually telling us. So now the third aspect, those countries who are said to be most successful in fighting the coronavirus are strongly relying on emerging technologies that support broad monitoring and surveillance mechanisms, as China is doing it, and as was the connection between Tanvi's talk and mine at the very beginning. So thereby, the governments that are relying on those technological measures, let's say, actually follow what the World Health Organization is strongly recommending them to do, namely, please trace the contacts that your citizens have with each other. Very broadly, those measures can be categorized into four groups. First, there is digital tracking. 17 countries of the world are either collecting anonymized location data derived from citizens' smartphones in order to analyze the spreading pattern of the virus. 11 of those 17, today, up to my knowledge, are using active, live, personal location data to track the pandemic live. Then there is also physical surveillance, which covers the use of cameras with facial recognition software and heat sensors. And also surveillance drones that are used to monitor citizens' movements to check whom they are in contact with and whether they follow, for example, the request to stay at home in quarantine. Examples with using surveillance drones are Belgium, but also Spain, Russia, and China are relying on physical surveillance. And then third, many governments use the rise of potentially false information about the virus to justify certain censorship practices. For example, the Cambodian and the Ugandan authorities have arrested social media platform users that spread information about the virus on their private accounts. In Niger, authorities have arrested a journalist due to his coverage of the virus. Egypt has taken away the press credentials of a British journalist due to his alleged bad faith into how Egypt is dealing with the coronavirus. Iranian authorities have blocked access to the Farsi language edition of Wikipedia for, I believe, 1 or 2 days due to criticism on how Iran is handling the virus. Further censorship cases are Singapore and China, for example, but I believe you get the picture. And fourth, there are special, let's say, anti-corona apps that are developed and used that invite users to provide medical data and data about whom they meet and whom they meet when. For example, the Austrian Red Cross has provided the so-called Stop Corona app that invites users to precisely do that, to tell with whom they have been in contact with in the past, in the present, and in the future. So the upshot of this whole description is the following. It seems that for the first time in human history, technology may make it possible to monitor almost everybody, almost everywhere, almost all the time. And due to the fear and panic reigning amongst some of us, we seem to take part in those measures without reflection. And also due to fear, those measures that could put some of our human rights at risk, the rights to privacy, health, freedom of movement, freedom of assembly, they are adopted often without passing the classical political process. And I will come back to this in just a minute. So now, we do know from past crises that crises have a habit to fast forward certain processes and instruments, and that the consequences of those processes and the instruments implemented will most probably not go away once the crisis is over. Therefore, emergency measures that endanger, especially the human right to privacy may stay. On the one hand side, especially if they pay off. And I believe they could pay off, because if anything in the world is growing exponentially right now, I believe it is the provision of and the access to personal data. This could maybe curb the artificial intelligence industry and could help some subparts of the economy to recover after the crisis. Or at least instill the idea that it could help recover the economy, could help the economy to recover after the crisis. Also, those measures may stay for a second reason, namely when people start saying that the next crisis is just around the corner. And there are already some actors appearing on the public stage that are saying precisely this. And Corona has shown how fast a wave of panic can spread across global societies and how strongly panic leaves us unreflected about quickly adopted measures and how easily we may take part within them. So now I come back to the adoption of emergency legislation by governments. Of course, in times of crisis, governments may and must adopt emergency legislation. However, those measures must respect human rights law, and they must be proportionate, necessary, and especially they must be time-bound. However, as we have seen, the fast-forwarded measures may maybe violate human rights, and they may not be time-bound. So I will summarize. The coronavirus instills fear of a physical illness. And this fear may let us rush without the reflection needed into a risky new world of technology. This new world of technology may have consequences for human rights that we may see already today. And those consequences are very much path dependent. That means the new world of technology will probably not uncreate itself once the pandemic is successfully fought. Now, the question of the day, and it must be a question for everyone for every day to come, do we want to uncreate this new world of technology? The world is, amongst other things, a world of human beings. And if ever an actor is to change the course of developments, it is only us. And any human institution is only as strong as the reflected minds of its human members and the reflected minds of the human population that it aims to represent. This means that change requires us to reflect upon what kind of world we, as individuals and as societies, want to live in. And reflection requires three things. It requires time, quietness, and it requires that we shift away from the fear and emotionality that we are in towards reason. So Corona forces two of those necessities upon us. We are all at home, and we are all largely undistracted if we like. We could use this time and this quietness wisely, because new ideas, which are needed if we want to move into a balanced future, may grow only there. Therefore, it makes maybe more sense to use this invitation for introspection, for an increased level of self-understanding, and for a maybe new prioritization of values, instead of thinking how artificial intelligence can increase our business profits once Corona is over. Thank you.